Calling the Dogs with Chancey and Chi. And there's no time of the year that feels better than a post-Florida ass-kicking, my friend. How are you right now? I know how I am, but I would love to know how you are.
At this point, I'm just jealous that I didn't witness it in person. I mean, I've never felt, I know when we recorded, I mentioned this, but I have never felt like I needed to hop in a car and drive, you know, 6 hours down to Jacksonville or whatever it is, more than I did on Friday afternoon. And I won't say that I got really close, but I was very tempted. And so I had to, of course, you know, took off a little early on Friday to make sure I drown my sorrows, right? So, we just have experienced this so many times recently that I think a lot of people think that we're going to get used to it. And I'm never going to get used to it. It's always going to be, I mean, the amount of times in our lifetime thus far, the amount of times that we have, if I'm not mistaken, we're still, in our lifetime, we're still losing. Yeah, we still have a losing record. Yeah, we definitely do, since we've been alive. So I'm just, at this point, I want to win this game. I still want to win this game more than any other ones. But man, you're right. That feeling afterwards, there's just nothing like it. You beat Auburn, you love it. I mean, you feel that, but the hatred here on another level. And so when you stick it to them, it's just a damn good feeling.
Well, there's a vibe change down in Jacksonville when you go and you're seeing this. And I will say I haven't been in a while, but I guess it's just when you get away from this for a couple of years, you just forget how big this is. And people were talking about we got there pretty early. But when you're driving in over the bridge and you see it, and it is just a mass of people that very few times is gathered for anything else. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people that are never going to get near the stadium that just are there for the party and will be there for hours and hours after the fact. I mean, they were getting the grills and the pots stirred up when you get out of the game. I mean, there's all kinds of good cooking going on, and but the vibe in that area was off the charts, and Dogs came out in full force, and Florida had hope. The Florida fans had all kinds of hope. They showed up. They were talking crap and jawing and all that kind of mess. But there is no feeling like being in a stadium, and we talk about this, but there's no feeling like being in a stadium and looking across the way and there's no one. There's no one there, and then you turn back and look to your left and look to your right, and you just see another 39,000 people that are looking across the side and just jawing at the seven people that are left. They want to ruin them, and I don't think I've not been to one of the bigger wins like this in that big of a gap. I wasn't there in the 17 year, and we've had a couple of these. But man, we after their first touchdown, we owned it. There was no part of this game that we didn't have control over. Part of that was our play, and part of that was just them being dumb. And we'll talk about it. But man, what a fun time! I mean, it was an awesome atmosphere. Awesome atmosphere.
Before we jump too much into the game, I did want to ask you: Did you happen to come across before y'all went into the stadium? Did you happen to come across a? Did you slap some bags? I mean, was there some? did you happen to get a little Franzia dangling in front of your face? Sir,
there was no Franzia this time. I think that was probably for the betterment of everyone around.
Yeah.
I ain't built like I used to be. Made it in there relatively unscathed, but surprisingly warm. Like I was telling you earlier, it was kind of not typical. You never know what it's going to be, but Franzi and I would not have done well this weekend.
I don't think it ever goes well, but for whatever reason, and especially on the beach, you know, in St. Simon's on Friday, for whatever reason, that's, I think about how there was always some dude who just had a wine bag, and that was what he, I mean, honestly, probably just drank out of that more than anything, but just like circulating, there's no telling how many people have just been sucking on that thing. So it's just, For whatever reason, I associate Franzia with the world's largest cocktail party, and you know, when it's $10 and you're floating around some wine, you know somebody's going to pass out, right? So saw plenty of that in our time, but man, I do want to know, like I said, before we jump into the, I mean, so did y'all get in town towards the stadium in time to do a little bit of tailgating? Was it as wild as usual? I know you said you saw 100,000 people, but
just, yeah, that we
want to see what the spectacle was like.
We were in tailgating, and I think we were in lot Y, so we were a little ways out, so we had to walk into the thick of it, and there it was full force, man. People all over the place. Just sloppy. I mean, when you haven't been around in a while, that you forget how just wild people get, and just they have been drinking for days. It seems like these people have been going at it for a long time, and
you come across some just nasty people too. Like, not even just like, hey, where did you come from? But like, have you showered? Have you been just walking around Jacksonville for the past 7 days? Like, what's going on? And they're just like, you're right, out of their mind. And I really want to know, the number one thing I want to know, and something that is always a great memory of mine, is seeing the people who tally the jorts and stuff like that. Did you get a good jort tally?
No, we didn't get it. They were there. They were absolutely there. The people that you would tally, and I did not go by anyone that was keeping score, but there was plenty to keep score about, because every single stereotype that we have about Florida is just magnified there. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just like Jacksonville is the drain where all the crap goes. And because there are some rough dogs there too. I mean, we come out of the woodwork for sure. They come out of the South Georgia swamps.
I love them, but like, damn.
it's the best and the worst of both worlds show up to Jacksonville, and a lot of them, let me tell you. And so there was plenty to keep score on, but we weren't. I didn't watch anyone keeping track, but it would have been a full board, to say the least. So.
Well, the other thing that you always see when you go to Georgia, Florida, I wish we need to keep a running tally. I mean, not tally, but like just some notes that we bring up every year for that game beforehand. Like, hey, what do we see last year? And what do you think you're going to see this year? Because, yeah, I mean, you always see somebody right before you go in the stadium, you always see somebody that puked themselves. And so that's a given, or somebody who's, you know, got their head actually in a porta potty. Then that's another thing too. So, you know, it's gross and awesome all at the same time. That whole you get near that stadium, it's like how we talk about when you go to New Orleans. Like, you just walk in there and it's like freaking Twilight Zone, man. And that little 3 mile radius around that stadium, it is a Twilight Zone. So, any other excerpts from the tailgate? Anything else you saw that was notable?
No, I think the big thing was how much in full force dogs were. I mean, it was a big time showing, and there was a vibe of confidence in the air, and the fans. I think that was the first time I had that best. That it was like a true fan experience, like dog experience. I mean, we were around some great people, and the stadium. I mean, when we're playing like that, there's just nothing but good vibes. Everybody's high-fiving everybody. Everybody's into it and having a good time. And that's just one of those that you really get. It really seals the deal on those games and having that kind of atmosphere. So we had an awesome time. So it was if you haven't gone in a while, you need to be thinking about going if you want to catch Jacksonville, because no telling how this is all going to shake out, like we talked about last week. But but going, it then reminded me of how much I enjoy. There's parts of me that enjoy that game being down there, but it's like my brother and I were talking. Coming down to Jacksonville is a business trip, and when you go down there, you're not there to have fun. You're gonna have to drink just to get through it. Because I even got there and I didn't really know what to do. I was kind of like I didn't feel right, and then I was like, oh, cracked a beer. Got one in my hand. I'm like, okay, there we go. That got it going, and
You absolutely have to. There's no going down and enjoying Jacksonville and being sober. I'm sorry.
And it's not like for us, we weren't getting sloppy or anything like that. You just have to be. Don't tell anybody. I don't normally start drinking beers at 9:45, but when you get there, you have to just for things to feel okay with being down there, and being able to deal with it. So anyway, it was we had a good time, and that game has to be at 3:30. My dad tells me, and we'll eventually get to this year, but my dad was always telling me there was one game that it was at 7 o'clock. And there was one year that the game started at 7, and he says when we got there, we were in a van, and he said we grilled out 3 meals. He said we grilled breakfast, lunch, and we grilled out dinner, and he said it was. And then he's like, and then we had to drive home that night, and it was funny to hear him talk about that. But that game could not be at 7 o'clock. He said it was the worst. He said people died. Like there was just dead bodies. It seemed like laying around. People really? Passed out in the streets. So it would not make it at 7 o'clock since consistently. So it has to be at 3:30.
You know, something I was actually wondering yesterday is, this is the last year of 3:30 CBS games. Are they going to lose the Georgia Florida game?
I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to work. I think we'll have to see how all that goes. I don't know what ESPN is going to do, because it'll be an ESPN game.
I just didn't know, for whatever reason, I thought that they might actually have a separate contract just for that game. Cause I mean, you know, they're slotted for they are CBS has always, at least as far as I've known, has always been, it's like a preset. CBS has got the game 3:30. But I guess, maybe that might change next year. I didn't know if there was anything. I just really just didn't know. I didn't know if you'd heard anything about it.
No, I haven't. I feel like it'll probably, because everything that I've understood is that ESPN just has first rights to all of it. I don't know if there's going to be some stragglers in there or how that's going to work. But ESPN's got top dibs for all that. They're not going to pay all that money to not get Georgia, Florida, Bama, LSU, all that kind of stuff. So. Yeah. I don't know how that's all going to shake out.
Well, Chancey, we'll see how it does. You know, unfortunately, we have no say in the matter, and they're going to do whatever brings them the most bucks. Which, you know what, that's what talks these days. Money talks. Chancey, I did want to bring this up. I was doing a little mathematician over here before we got started, because I wanted to put these numbers together. The Dogs have played, the Dogs have beaten the Gators 6 out of the last 7 times, right? With the only loss being in 2020. And so I just had to go back to 2017 and add up how much we have outscored them. We've outscored them 249 to 132 in that span, which comes out to an average of just over 35 points and 18 points versus 18 points. And if you had told us that that was going to be the case whenever we were 10, 12, 15 years old, we would have laughed at you. But I tell you what, if that doesn't warm your heart, I don't know what will. You got a cold heart if that doesn't warm it.
Well, that's the that is the Kirby effect, my friend, and we are in a new age. It's so funny. It's just how Spurrier hated the Dogs. Kirby hates Florida. Our whole coaching staff hates Florida. Mike Bobo hates Florida. I mean, everybody on our team hates them, and they deserve hatred. And I love that about this team. And there's a focus on beating Florida every year and doing it in a very aggressive way, and never taking the foot off the gas, and to get some games like this. These last 7 years have been incredible, and it's so funny that we say 7 years and we're still not there. Like, you and I are still not there emotionally, spiritually, that we can come into this game and have some sense of calm. And I don't think it'll ever happen.
No.
But I love games like this get me.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like that.
And so I think, but every year we keep doing this, it gets closer and closer to where I can handle enjoying this game a little more. But man, that was this year to kind of help spread that gap a little bit on those averages. That was it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just had to go look that up, and it's pretty
nice.
Those
are some good stats right there.
Yeah. It took a lot of brain power, but we did it. You know, it's just one of those things, you know, Wikipedia puts the results right there in front of you, and, you know, everything's it's actually color-coded. So, I mean, you know, you can see the recent, obviously, how successful we've been in the last, you know, 10 or so years, and I'm just waiting for that to be, you know, a lot more red than it is blue. Chancey, we were talking about how we wish, you know, me and my brothers were all just like I said on Friday, we just were wishing we could just hop in the truck and head down to St. Simon's or Jacksonville or what have you. But we were talking about how we got to go next year. But then we were talking about it's like, I don't know if we can do next year because we got all these awesome away games other than, you know, the Florida game. That we got to go to, you know, Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama. It's pretty tough to think you're going to want to spend a trip, you know, an away trip, I guess, going down to Georgia, Florida. But I don't know, maybe it'll happen. But Austin, Texas will be calling our name, no doubt. Chancey, by the way, did you happen to see, I think I sent it to y'all. Did you see the flyover at the beach on St. Simon's?
Yes. Yeah, I did. That was wild.
Man, talk about American. Oh, yeah, you said that they were probably from Robbins Air Force Base.
Moody Air Force Base.
Moody. Yeah, not Robbins.
But, yeah, Moody's down here, and they have the A-10s. And so more than likely that was a Moody A-10 that flew over there,
Is that a warthog? Awesome. Like,
yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
Those things
pretty
are
awesome.
Bad. Good thing the guns didn't go. Would have been bad. Anyway,
that was awesome, and just a lot of good vibes and cool stuff happening, and man, from finally getting into some football, we're 20 minutes in here. We hadn't even talked about the game. What are your thoughts on how this unfolded? What are some of your big takeaways here?
Well, I don't know about if this is in order, but Ladd McConkey's awesome. I think we both mentioned that he would be a guy that's going to step up in the absence of Brock Bowers, and he looked like this is the first game that I thought he looked like he was 100%. Of course, you know, goes for 135 and a touchdown. So, I mean, you got to think, oh, the guy's got to be feeling pretty good. But that first touchdown of his, where he just did some things that just physically don't make sense. he stops on a dime on a crossing pattern, just completely cuts back field. Everybody else is still running past him. He cuts back to the middle of the field and then outruns three guys to the end zone. The guy that was in the end zone, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a guy that was like with Roseme, and he wasn't Roseme really wasn't even blocking him, but the guy like basically gave up. He had a chance to like maybe try to get around Roseme and see if he could make the tackle, but he didn't even attempt to try to tackle Ladd, you know, whenever he was on the 5-yard line or so. But then Roseme just shoves his ass after Ladd got in the end zone. And it was kind of, you know, things like that, some early turnovers, some havoc plays that just very quickly turned the momentum. I mean, you even had, you know, we didn't end up scoring a touchdown on our first drive, but Delp had that early kind of circus catch on the sideline. And then the defense just completely and totally, after that first series, just defense was they broke the momentum of Florida. And then the offense just said, all right, hold my beer. Like, we're going to get to work. And they did. And then everybody just did their job from there on out. I mean, they gave up basically three bad plays, I would say. They looked ugly on the first drive. And then all of a sudden, they just started shutting their offense down. Munden had a great game. We saw guys, I mean, Bullard, I think, killed a guy. You know, we had guys playing, and then Ingram Dawkins came back. I think he's been having a hamstring issue. Is that right? Something like that. He's had something nagging, and man, he came back and had a good game. We just
had the, all had the strip. Had, he had the strip fumble.
Yeah, yeah, he had the strip. And then you had guys just making plays all over the place. And so, you know, obviously the guys that we thought would pick up the slack offensively were awesome. But I'll swap it back to you here in a second. But I'll tag you in. But man, I just want to say I'm Team Beck. I'm all on Team Beck. I mean, yeah, he had a great game this past weekend. He looked sharp. I mean, he didn't have the most statistically incredible, like he's 19 for 28. That's pretty good. But, you know, 315 yards, two touchdowns. That's, if he does that every game, we win every game. And I just want to say, not only has he been more impressive, he's gotten better and better each game. But what you're seeing from him is his body language is changing. You know, me and my brothers were talking about how that after the Auburn game, he was the first guy on the field just slapping Starks. You know, just excited about it, and just seeing that kind of energy was nice. But then the laying out the Vandy guy who picked him off in the Vandy game, that was whenever I hopped on the bandwagon for sure. I was just like, all right, that's all I needed to see. Like, man, this guy is doing everything he can, literally laying his body on the line to try to win ball games for this football team. So, man, I was very impressed. Thought Carson had a great day. And sure as hell was a lot better than Graham Mertz.
Yeah. I guess picking up on the offensive side, I think one thing I want to mention, I mean, you covered it with Ladd. I mean, the guy is – I heard somebody say – everybody's been asking the question, what are they going to do without Brock Bowers? And the real question should have been, how did we do it without Ladd kind of thing? Like how big of a deal Ladd was to last year's team. And we haven't had him this whole time, and we've had Bowers, so we haven't really talked about it. But Ladd is critical to what we've done these last years. I mean, he is crucial to our success. And we just, to your point, he's getting healthier, he's getting back. Receivers across, I think all of our receivers made plays. Guys were Dom Lovett had a big catch streaking down the sideline. He had 83 yards on the day. Oscar had, like you said, had a couple catches. But I think big thing was offensive line in the run game. We were able to establish the run. We were able to keep them on their heels. And they had no answer for Dejan. I mean, Dejan had a day with him. And Kendall, even, he had some big runs, had some big plays. And we were gashing them up the middle, very similar to how Kentucky was. We aired it out a lot more because we could and we had the guys to do it. But I feel pretty confident that we would have been able to put up some pretty serious numbers on the ground if we had kept with it. But, man, Dejan just looks better and better every week in terms of his vision.
Love that, man.
I mean, the slight – you just go back and watch him. The slightest movements he makes, everything with him is so calculated, and he just times everything so well. And, man, he's not getting enough talk this year of how big of a deal he is to what we're trying to do. And see him get two big touchdowns this week, this past weekend was awesome. But proud of the offensive line. I mean, I think there was a couple of times that Beck got hurried, but we're seeing their improvement in protecting Beck, but then also creating these running lanes for these guys. Very, very few times that we were getting stuck in the backfield. So I was proud of their progression. And what we were seeing on the offensive side. Defensively, man, we were swarming. We were swarming all over the place. There was nobody, there was no breathing, no nothing going on. We were making plays, and just proud of how the defense looked all together. I think my two big takeaways is we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot, and Florida's just not good. Like they're not very good, and we capitalized on that. I mean, they got a couple touchdowns on in garbage time. So I mean, two of those touchdowns toward the end of the game were just, I mean, we were winning handily. I mean, they scored seven, we scored 36 straight, and so that tells you everything you need to know right there. And so Florida's not that great, and we exposed them, and we handled them the way that we should have. Was it perfect? Absolutely not. But, man, it was fun.
Well, the thing is that final score really is not indicative of how much we whooped their tail. I mean, we really beat them. I mean, of course, they get the the garbage time touchdown towards the end, you know, with a couple minutes left. So that certainly, you know, made it look a little bit worse. But, I mean, they were actually – we had the twos in at that point. And then also you look at, you know, where we really could have – we could have ran up the score too. We could have passed half – you know, hung half a hundred on them. But that was – there was no reason to whenever you're in the fourth quarter, you're up 43-13. So – it was just one of those games that once we grab momentum, just never let it go. And I just, I really appreciate, I'm glad you brought up one, Dejan. I mean, you know, I was going to talk about him regardless, you know, he's my boy. But then two, the offensive line really needs to get a lot of credit for this game. And I think this might actually be their best game of the year as far as, I mean, of course, they didn't give up any sacks in the game. But you saw what, I mean, I don't know if you, did you see that video of Ernest Green? He's swinging out and just knocked that cornerback on his tail. You saw an aggressiveness level with their run blocking especially. I mean, Dejan's really good at seeing the smallest hole. He can go through it, and that's one of the reasons why he's so successful. He's got great vision, but he's also he will ride into a hole, I mean, within a split second. I mean, he's got side-to-side agility. That's why he's so effective as that type of runner. But, man, the way the offensive line was moving guys around, it really was. I mean, it made it a lot easier on him. And Kendall came in and looked pretty good. I mean, he's still just – he reminds me of he's like old Dick Samuel in a way. and I think I've mentioned that before. He reminds me of Dick Samuel, but he also – he's more athletic, and he's got the ability to be less of a straight-line runner than he is. And he's shown some flashes this year. I just hope he's, you know, getting healthier and healthier every week. But, man, all in all, man, you got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line. And I hope Carson's using some of that NIL money. I'm assuming he's making some pretty good money. I have no clue, to be honest with you. But I hope he took his boys out to eat on Sunday night because they deserve it.
Well, the one thing I will say on Beck, and when we saw it a few times this game, got to hone in the deep ball. And once we do that, I mean, there's really nothing stopping where we're at. And I think we forget it because we had it for so long. Stetson struggled with the deep ball early on. I mean, it took a little while for him to get that consistently. I mean, it wasn't like he was missing them all, but eventually it got to where we weren't missing the deep ball. I mean, it was very rarely did we miss a deep ball. And Beck has hit some of those, but we saw last couple weeks there have been some opportunities that were missed, and I think we had two or three, I forgot how many deep balls we had. We get a couple of those, and we definitely get over 50 for sure in this game. And so that's if we're gonna find a place to rag, and I think we need to look at the opportunities, because we're gonna have to be able to, for the rest of the stretch that we've got this year, we need everything we got. I mean, we're gonna need to be able to execute on all of these pieces of the game, but when it comes like that pass though, to going back to talk about it, that pass to Bell, that touchdown pass to Bell.
Man, I was hoping I would get a chance to bring that up, because it was that was a heck of a freaking throw, man. Heck of a throw.
He had a few of those this game where it was just like, man, that was gorgeous. And he's had those all year. And so I'm definitely same way, definitely on the Beck train. We get that deep ball honed in, and man, we're looking success right in the face, because there's not much that can slow us down at that point.
I think you're exactly right, and yeah, I mean, I think you are right to nitpick that because that's the one thing. I mean, I don't want to call it a flaw, but if you're going to nitpick his game, that is the one thing that he has struggled with, you know, fairly consistently. But at the same time, we've also seen guys, you know, like an Arian Smith, who has dropped some of those deep balls too. Mm-hmm. But you're right. That is the one. I mean, those intermediate throws, and obviously a lot of the short throws as well, but those intermediate throws that he's putting on a dime, it's very important, because, I mean, it's more important than the deep ball, honestly, in this offense. And I think that goes for most offenses, but you've got to, if you're going to be able to hit the Dominic Lovitz over the middle, that they can take that route and run up the sideline, that's going to get you just as many yards as a 50-yard bomb down the field. So It's to me, I agree with you. It's you got to look at it from a little bit wider view and just see, okay, if we're going to pick something here, you know, what has Carson struggled with? That's, you're exactly right. But, you know, obviously overall, I did see something, and I meant to send this to y'all. Let me make sure I didn't delete this picture. So apparently, so I'll just read it to you. Carson Beck has now thrown for 250 plus yards in each of his first 8 games. That's the longest streak in SEC history. Kellen Mond did it for Texas A&M in his first 7 games. No other QB besides them has had more than 3. So wow. He's thrown for 200, and this is the first, like, I guess as a starter. Yeah, first 8 games started. No quarterback in SEC history has thrown for 250 plus yards as many times as him, ever.
Good gosh.
I had no clue he was actually on that big of a stretch. I mean, I thought he had one game where he had like less than 200. It's just crazy because, you know, even last year with Stetson and having a lot of the same pieces, there's a lot of games where we were just beating the crap out of somebody, and so he didn't play in the fourth quarter. But, you know, he really didn't have a lot of games where he was throwing for close to 300. I mean, if he had to, we did. But we really kind of either leaned on the defense or leaned on the running game at times.
Well, and I think what we're showing is this team has to be different. I think because you're looking at like the running backs and the depth that we have there, we have to throw more, and we have to utilize all of our weapons. And God, we've got the receivers and the ball catchers to do it. So let's get these guys a ball and let them make a play. And we've got a quarterback that's going to get the ball to them. And you can go, if you go and look at our stat sheet, all those games, I mean, to get 250 yards, I mean, yeah, a lot of those games, Brock was a big part of all those, or like this past week with Ladd, but he is spreading the ball out to all of these guys, and everybody's getting an opportunity to make a play and to step out. And we've got the guys that are able to make it happen. And I think, just like we talked about with Brock going out, we got guys that are stepping up to make those plays and that are coming into their own. And I think we've both have talked about how we like Lovett and we like his trajectory right now. And he's a guy that I think could have a really big game against like a Missouri, because they're going to really hone in on Ladd, and it could be a chance for him to really step up and make some big plays over the next couple of weeks. And so I'm excited about where we're at offensively. I think we're just trending the right way, and you can tell that with Beck being in sync and these receivers getting that chemistry with him, we're trending the right way at the right time, and we're getting to a place to where I feel confident we'll be able to put up the points we need. If we need to get into a shootout, we can get into a shootout. I don't think we'll get to where we're in a shootout with this defense.
I don't want it.
I don't want it either. But I think we thinking down the line, if Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, I mean, we have trouble with those kinds of quarterbacks. If we get to the point for some reason that we've got to be able to put up points and go back and forth with a team like that, which is very likely to happen at some point this season, if we get into the postseason, we're going to have that. And I think we've got the offense to be able to make that happen, especially if that offensive line keeps playing like they were.
Yeah, that's I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it is we are built to be able to do it. I just hope we don't have to get in a shootout, just because that scares me. You know, makes me think about the Ohio State game and winning that thing by the hair on our chin. I mean, you know, I'd much rather just dominate. And I don't think that's too much to ask. But the good thing is we've got a lot of teams that are, you know, Ole Miss. Actually, Ole Miss is trending up. We're playing Missouri at the point where they're trending up the most. I think some people are thinking good chance for an upset, but I have actually seen that line opened up at like 14.5, I think, which is crazy considering it's going to be a top 15 matchup. They've only lost one game in the season. It also happens to be in Sanford Stadium. But apparently the line has already moved up to like 16, which is not like a small, like a point and a half in the gambling world is not a small. That's not small. So that's kind of crazy that people are so confident in the way. And here's the deal. what scares me about this game, I mean, about this team is, well, I mean, if you look at our schedule, I'm sitting here looking at it. We literally, the past four games, yeah, I mean, it's like we got on this high of beating Florida, right? And that, but we before that, we were on a low of, like, played kind of poor against Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, it's not like it's a hard place to play. But then before that, we had this high of beating the crap out of Kentucky in Sanford Stadium. Then before that, we barely beat Auburn. So you're going back, and I don't like that. I don't like that kind of seesaw in there. But you can kind of look at, you mentioned this earlier, you look at Missouri's schedule, and it really is pretty similar to how ours has been set up. And they've struggled at times, too. It's not like there were some world beaters, but they do have a darn good football team. And so, man, it's just at this point, you know, I'm just hoping we got our heads on straight, because I don't want to – this isn't a team that's going to be getting in a shootout with us. Sorry, I kind of brought – I don't know how I brought them up with this whole thing, but it's not a team that's going to be built for a shootout, but they'd be willing to do it. And I think they got some playmakers on their side of the field too. Chancey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to kind of move on there, but I didn't know if you had any more thoughts about the Florida game or where you were at.
Well,
I kind of jumped the gun a little bit. Sorry.
No, that's where we're. I mean, we're getting there, but I don't want to miss the opportunity again to say that Florida is terrible, and they are. I think we put them in their place. I think they're better than people thought they would be, but because people, I mean, there were some people that had them winning like 3-4 games a season. But I mean, they're getting into the meat of their season now, so it's very possible that they are not bowl eligible by the end of the year. And because,
oh, please, Lord God,
I mean, that would be the best. Because I mean, I'm telling you, I think.
Wait, hold on. They have 5 wins, so you're saying that you think there's a good chance they just lose out?
Look at their schedule. Look at the rest of their schedule.
I mean, I hope you're right. I just I have not taken that good of a look at it. I mean, I know they play LSU this coming weekend.
Arkansas, LSU.
Oh, I'm
Missouri,
sorry.
Florida State.
So play Arkansas, then they play LSU.
I mean, they'll probably beat Arkansas, but LSU, Missouri, and Florida State. I mean, they're barely getting to a bowl.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So
how is it that Arkansas is so bad this year? Man, I thought they were going to be a. I thought they were going to be like a top 4 or 5 team in the SEC.
Which this is the year to do it, because the SEC is poo-poo, like just in general compared to where we've usually been. So I don't know, but I think for me just kind of final thoughts. I think we're trending the right way. You have a big win against Kentucky. It's hard to get up for a Vandy game, and you go into seeing because one of the things that we said was, we've got to go in and play Jacksonville and be focused. Come in, play with hunger, get after it, and we did that. We did that in every facet of the game. We didn't shoot ourselves in the foot. We created turnover opportunities. We capitalized on them, and we executed at a high level against your biggest rival in a neutral site, and you just took care of business and never looked back. And that's what we wanted to see. We saw that against Kentucky, but to see that in kind of an away environment, that's what we needed. And we needed to know that we can do that to build up some confidence, specifically for that defense. I mean, people were talking that Graham Mertz was going to throw all over our defense, and we weren't going to have a chance. And this is going to be the upset alert and all that kind of stuff. And our defense, they took that personally. I mean, everybody gave us every bit of ammunition we needed to get us pissed off about coming in there. And, boy, did we punish them. And it's funny to hear everyone's tune change after this game. You hear the
media
landscape.
Oh, yeah, that Florida team wasn't so good, you know. Of course Georgia should have beat them like that, yeah.
And so we had plenty of that because, let's see, Mertz had – what did he end up with? He went 230 yards. 25 of 34, 2 touchdowns, and a lot
he
of that.
Really didn't have a terrible
backup
day, but then of course you know he also had 2 fumbles, didn't he? And I mean, I know he had,
yes, yeah, he had 2 fumbles. They recovered one of them. It was on that big third down early, and it might have been 2 drives in a row.
He recovered the one, and then we blocked the punt right afterwards. Aguero, is that how you say his name? He's a safety, number 8. I honestly, that was the first time in a while that I had to look up a player, like what number, who is this guy? But man,
well, there hadn't been a lot of special teams plays this season. I mean, for us, either way. I mean, we've had a couple muff punts that Muse didn't catch, but But I think for us, I think we capitalized on Florida's mistakes, like with some play calling, like on those that fourth down on your side of the field. I mean, you got to get points there, and when we did, and so getting a safety. I mean, there was a lot of things that we went in and we made plays when we were supposed to, and got points. And so I'm happy with the performance. Like I said, it wasn't flawless. It never is, but that was fun.
After that first drive, it was pretty damn close to being relatively flawless. But something I saw, and I'm pretty sure I saw this. I may have dreamed this, but I think it's true. but I think I saw that we have not allowed a punt return all year. Hey, did you see that?
I did not see that, but interesting.
I'm thinking back on it. I'm like, I don't recall there being it. I mean, but apparently we have not allowed a single punt return to be, you know, even a yard or two. I don't know.
Holy cow.
I'm going to go back and watch every game tonight. and seeing as it's 10:15 at night, I'm going to go back and watch every game and see if I can make sure. But yeah, man, it's all in all, great performance. I mean, this is the game that we want to win every year. We could lose every other game. This is the one game. Like, if you had to pick, this is the one. And happy that we are just at the point where Florida is just making up excuses before and after the game. And I just cannot. We cannot overstate how blessed we are to have our captain. Oh, captain. My captain. Okay. Kirby Smart has been incredible for this program, obviously, and they have been through what? This is their fourth coach in the past 10 years, I believe is right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we're sitting here with a guy who we will gladly pay to be here for the rest of his life if he so sees fit. And, I mean, crap, Kirby could be out there and be 80 years old and probably out-recruit half the field over there, man. So it's just, man, I'm excited about it. And this is a good win, man, a big win. Great for us to come off of this win into this gauntlet we're about to go through in the next couple of weeks. But, Chancey, I agree with you, man. This is a big one. So if you want to take us into Missouri, I'm ready to rock and roll.
It's, George, Florida is always that middle point of the year where you're finding yourself and you're starting to realize who you are as a team, and it happened last year, and it really carries since Kirby has been here. It really carries the momentum into the back half of the season, and that's where we're at right now. What gets me excited is these next 2 weeks in our home. And when I feel like we haven't been home, and it just feels like it's been a while since we've been in Sanford, and but get two big games at home, two potentially bigger games of the season with Missouri playing winning ball. I mean, you can say what you want. You got to win. It's tough to win ball games, and they're winning ball games. I mean, they've got their loss, and but they're coming in hot and wanting to slay the giant and have a really good quarterback, good receiver, and are winning games in multiple ways. But they've had kind of an up and down season in terms of how these wins have looked, and people are riding high on them right now. But it's definitely safe to say that they've been recruiting some pretty high level talent for Missouri standards, and so this they've got nothing to lose. I mean, they're expected to lose this game. Everybody that we play from here on out has nothing to lose. They're expected to lose the game against us. They'll be underdogs. Everybody we play will be underdogs for the rest of the season. And so it's up to us to go in. And I think we're past the point of getting up for a game and going down. I think this is now where we're riding out momentum. We're kind of catching our stride, and guys are starting to feel good about how we're playing, and they're getting comfortable in the system and where we're at. And so I'm more so excited about seeing how we continue this trend that we've got moving forward especially with like Beck and these guys and the connection we're seeing. They're starting to have fun with it.
They definitely are. And I mean, now you're going to see, you know, those those touches that Brock Bowers was getting. I mean, I think he spread the ball around pretty darn well. I mean, we saw, I think, what, 7-8 different receivers catch a ball last weekend. So it's at this point, I completely agree with you. I mean, there's no such thing as being down for a game in November. You know who you are. You know what you need to do to accomplish your goals. And then you sitting here about to face a top 15 opponent who also controls their own destiny, technically. You know, if they won this game this weekend, as long as they stayed unblemished in SEC play, they would be going to Atlanta over us. And all it takes is one hiccup. And we can, I mean, that could be a reality. You know, the one thing that one of the biggest reasons why I have not been overly concerned about this game, and I can't wait to be there. This is going to be, honestly, this is probably going to be the biggest Missouri game that we've had, or game against Missouri that we've had since 2012 when we went out there and played them. Because, I mean, we have, since we lost them in 2013, we've beat them every year since then. And this has definitely got a different feel to it. I mean, you've got these guys who, I mean, I may be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure Brady Cook played against us last year and had some success. He's no superstar, but he does throw a good football. I mean, I watched a decent amount of that. They actually ended up losing to LSU, but I watched a decent amount of that game. They're not a bad football team, and they can put up numbers in there, and on, as we've seen on the ground, I mean, their leading rusher has over 800 yards. This is just one of the things that gives me so much comfort in this kind of game, though, is, dude, don't you know, these 3:30 games, first of all, love 3:30 games, best time to go see a football game, and I just know, I have so much faith in the Sanford Stadium crowd and the Dawg Nation, that they're going to just be ready to, hey, let's use our favorite word, they're going to be raucous, you know? They're going to be just absolutely out of their mind, probably in more ways than one. But, man, this is what you play SEC football for. And I know we're going to be, I mean, Missouri's pretty young to the conference, and I know we're going to be adding Texas and Oklahoma. There's going to be a different feel. But at this point, you know, it kind of feels like an old school late season SEC game, and it's going to be cooler. It's going to start getting cold up here in Athens tomorrow night, and it's going to be, I think it's a high in the 50s, low 50s on Wednesday, and I think it's by game time on Saturday, it's going to be kind of 60s, somewhat comfortable, but man, it's going to feel right. It's going to feel like November football, and we can break it down a little bit more, but man, that's just kind of, I'm ready to roll. You know, I'm ready. You're right. I'm ready to get back in Sanford. I feel like it's been too long.
Well, and these guys, I mean, I think having the game we had against Missouri last year, I know it's two new teams all together, but Missouri tried to end our national championship run last year, and they were the closest to anybody besides Ohio State to do it, and not that far from Ohio State in terms of what it took to win that game. And so, so for me, I think there's potential for a little bit of something to prove for our guys to go in and say we should have took care of business last year, so we're going to take care of it this year. But Missouri's showing up and being a top contender in the SEC, man. I mean, this is they're one of the top teams this year right now, and barely getting, because I watched, that was probably, that LSU game was probably the one that I watched the most of, and as well, and they got guys that can play. I mean, you can't come in sluggish to this team. And so I guess from your perspective, what do you think from their side, what should we be most concerned about when it comes to Missouri? I know you know everything about the Missouri team, but what to you is gives you some concern, or makes you think the most, I guess?
I can probably name just as many players on their team as I can Florida. So I don't know. I don't know what that tells you. But that's a, you know, it's funny. They actually, the last two games, I made this comment to you before we started, but the last two games have been two of their best games of the season. They did beat Kansas State early in the year, which I think it's turning out to be a pretty decent win. But they struggled against some teams. I mean, several teams. And of course, you know, had LSU on the ropes and then let it just fall out of their hands. But when they played Kentucky, that was probably the most telling about what this team is capable of. Because if I'm not mistaken, they got down 14-0 in that game. Kentucky was on them, and then they just came roaring back and ended up winning it by over two touchdowns. So that is that's the kind of thing to where we were scared last week about that. You know, we were scared about them getting up early and then us having to claw our way back like we did against South Carolina this year. And honestly, you know, a lot of teams this year. And that, I don't want to say makes me concerned in a way, but their biggest playmaker is Luther Burden, who's a guy who we missed out on as a recruit. He came down to us from Missouri, and he stayed in state. And he is, until last weekend, I believe, he was leading the SEC in receiving yards. He is a threat. And I think pretty similar to what we're going to see. We actually played more. I feel like we played more zone last weekend than I thought we would. Don't you know, number three is going to be matched up on Luther Burden, which I think he might be number three. He's one of those single digit numbers. Like I said, really know this Missouri depth chart up and down. Fantastic. But that Luther Burden's by far their biggest threat. He's a guy who can stretch the field. He's a guy who can catch it in the backfield and make a play on a screen. He's very, very athletic. And, we were talking about it before we started, but this is a really, really down year for SEC wide receivers across the board. And the thing is, we spread the ball around so much, we don't even have a guy. We have one guy besides Brock Bowers in the top 20 as far as receiving yards for the year. But I think that's more of a testament to how much Carson just is. It's just finding targets all over the place. And if this guy, this Brady Cook guy, the quarterback, he's pretty talented, but I think we played against him last year, but he, he's not going to have a plethora of talents to go to. He's going to lean on Burden, no doubt. And I think that's going to end up being something. If we do what I thought we would do against Pearsall last weekend and stick Kamari on him, stick Kamari on anybody, I'm going to feel pretty good about it.
Well, I think defensively, our front seven, we got to control the run and make Brady Cook win the game. I think you've got to really not allow them to be able to run the ball. And once we stop that, because they have the ability to do it, they've been pretty balanced in terms of their offensive production. Just looking at pure stats, like I said, I haven't really watched a ton of their games either. Mm. But like Jaden Daniels, when they played LSU, he ran for like 100-something yards. I saw like he had a bunch of had a lot of yards on the ground against them. But I think for us defensively playing them. I think we just got to make him be able to throw the ball. We as few guys as we need to be able to create some of that havoc and get some pressure on him. The scheme worked this week against Florida. I think Missouri's a much better coached team, so I think they're going to be able to make some more opportunities happen. They're not going to make some of these dumb calls that we saw against that Florida tried to do against us. But they're going to empty the playbook, and we can't be sleeping on this offense. And because they've had some pretty good production. They're putting up some decent numbers here, and most of their scores in the mid to high 30s. So it's there. And then I think offensively for us against their defense, I think we keep playing the same game, play your game plan. I thought Bobo called an excellent game this past weekend. Last few games have been called very well. And so when you have this many weapons to be able to get it to, spread the love, keep them guessing. They never know what to do. Keep play action ball in play, and it worked pretty well this past weekend.
We had a very, very good mix of play action. The bottom line is, we're a passing offense these days, which is wild to think, coming off of for the years we've had the tandem running backs that go for, each go to for it close to 1,000, if not over 1,000 yards for the season. And, the last guy that we've had who's been a, stone cold starter has really been Swift in a way. And we're just at a point where it's working better in our favor to be, kind of a 2-to-1, pass to run. And this offense, and credit to Bobo, man, the guy is just, I think early on the season, there were some growing pains. Good gracious, we have, knock on wood here, but we've gotten away from running 20 screens a game, which is fantastic. But, I feel like he's opening up the playbook, and I think people thought, oh, like there's more to this offense. And I don't know if I don't really think he was being reserved. That's I think that's a talking point for a lot of people. But I don't think he was trying to keep anything from being seen further down the road. When we were playing Auburn, you know, it was neck and neck. I don't think he was trying to hold anything back. And we're seeing the progression of this offense has been, and honestly, it might be the biggest storyline for us this whole year, is how this offense has gotten better and better each game and really starting to gel. But and you're talking about the chemistry that Carson has with these guys. It's just, I mean, you're seeing it play out on the field. Even the new guys, you know, Dominique and Ra-Ra just really starting to hit it off. But I will say the one thing about Missouri is they always have some sneaky good defensive linemen. You know, and I think their sack leader has about 4.5 sacks. And I don't even know who the guy was. I'm looking at it. Darius Robinson. So, you know, they've got a couple of guys, a couple of defensive linemen that are in the top of, you know, top 10 of their production on offense defense as far as tackles are concerned. And, you know, that's the one thing that makes me feel good about the fact that we have this offensive line who's starting to, you know, we get Ernest Green is back and we're getting guys that are getting healthier. Amarius Mims is working his way back. I think he was, did you see him? Wasn't he on the field last weekend? Was he in pregame drills or anything?
I didn't see, actually, now that you mention it, I think he was there, but I don't see him. He wasn't doing a whole lot.
I think he dressed out, but I mean, you know, he was just, I'm sure he wasn't, there wasn't any plan to have him play unless it was a dire situation. But, you know, he's still working his way back. And so we've got these guys, this offensive line. I mean, obviously you got the mainstays of Van Pran and Ratledge and those guys. And then, you know, the tackles are really coming into their own. So I'm happy to see that. I mean, not only that, but we're swapping in guys in and out, all of them, especially our guards. You know, so you saw Micah Morris get in there a pretty good bit. But we're seeing the evolution of our line has been pretty good this year. So man, it's gonna feel like one of those old school SEC football games, even though Missouri's a a Midwestern team. But it's gonna feel like that. It's gonna be a fun atmosphere on Saturday.
Well, and I had not thought about this till you were talking about Beck a minute ago, and I listened to something the other day, and I think this might have been on the broadcast. I didn't really think about the fact that Carson has not started a football game in like 4 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think we talked about that enough, in that he had not played football competitively except for the fourth quarter of all of Stetson's games last year. He had not done that from the start of a game and been in those atmospheres and been under the gun. And so you're talking about a new offensive coordinator taking basically a brand new quarterback and us figuring that out. And we're seeing them learn and grow together. And you and I brought these points up at the beginning, but you have to take that all into consideration. I mean, we're having to find ourselves, and the fact that we have gotten to this point and where we're at, I think is something that needs to be commended, that we can have this much success in that type of situation where the expectations are ungodly, and we're where we're at and having the success that we do. And so we can't rest on that, but I think this offense is finding itself before our eyes. And I think this past weekend was the turning point for that, because having that kind of environment and getting getting some big scores and having some big plays, I think we'll have a few big plays in this game that get the crowd into it and get everyone pumped up. It's going to be infectious. And our boys defensively are going to be swarming and wanting to get they got a taste of the blood this past weekend with all the sacks and getting in the backfield, and you know they're going to want it again. They're going to want that crowd to be at an all-time high, and they're going to want to create the Tennessee-like environment that we had last year. Because I tell you one thing, just talking about Samford, it's a new beast. The past few years, it has turned into something different and turned into what we've always wanted it to be. And so you don't have to worry about Samford showing up and being ready to go. And I think this defense is going to thrive off of that. And seeing what they were capable of this past week I think they're going to want that again in the home environment. So I'm excited about this game, and I think it's going to be tough. I think Missouri is going to they're not going to hold back anything back. I mean, they do have something. I mean, they do not that they don't have anything, because actually, kind of thinking about it, they do have they do control their own destiny at this point, and so so there is something to lose there. There is a little bit of can you play up to the environment? Can you show up on the big stage? Our guys have been on the big stage, and so can they do that? And I think they're going to show up. I think it's going to be a much more difficult ball game than it was this past weekend, and just a much more disciplined team. So we can't make mistakes, just like we need to be as disciplined as we were this past weekend.
Yeah, you made me think of one more thing about Carson and his performance against Florida. One thing, you know, I know we brought up the big play to Ladd, his touchdown, and how incredible of a play it was on his end. But something I noticed kind of rewatching the game or rewatching the highlights was on that play, Ernest Green got beat. And so that number one, that edge rusher was coming. I mean, he was coming in hot on Carson, and Carson stayed in the pocket. I mean, I'm sure he felt it, but he stayed in the pocket and released that ball, you know, within half a second of that guy getting to him. And that's the kind of play from Carson that I think has been kind of understated in a way, is how effective he is at finding his target, but he's making very quick decisions. And he's not exactly, and that was a long throw. It wasn't exactly like he was, you know, shooting out to his hot route or something like that. I mean, he made a throw downfield over the middle with a guy coming right up on his blind side. And so that's the kind of stuff we're going to see more from him. And then last thing I say about this Missouri situation is I'm actually curious, like, how many of their fans are actually going to travel to this game. Because I can tell you, speaking from experience, that 12-hour drive, yeah, that's a doozy. That's not exactly it's not like you're riding down the way to Auburn or Clemson or Tennessee or what have you. I mean, that's a long way to go for a football game. And I can tell you, I think we're going to see more. I mean, especially since this is the first time they've been in some quote unquote contention for anything in a while. And so it's and credit to Drinkwitz. I mean, he's one of those guys that I really thought that would never turn that program into anything to that where we're going to have a top 10 or a top 15 matchup against them. But man, he has really gotten them to believe, and they're playing at a high level right now. So got to be on our P's and Q's this weekend. And I think you're right, though. I think a recipe for a win is getting after old Brady Cook and getting the guys in the backfield. That's I want a party. I want a few parties in the backfield. That's the way I want to see.
Well, Sanford Stadium was going to show up and show up and show out, and I think these guys are going to feed off of that energy, and we're hitting our stride, and I might be naive to that and be thinking too positively. I think this is going to be. I don't think I'm conveying that I think this is going to be a hard-fought game. I think they're going to be we're going to have to bring our A game for this team, but I think our guys are better than their guys, and just don't do dumb stuff, and we're going to come out on top. We say that every week. Don't do dumb shit.
I was about to say that gets said about as many times as we said the word raucous, but you're right though. You can't pull a Florida, which is another. We should just say that should be a thing. You know, can't pull a Florida and just make. I mean, you can't have all this momentum and then shoot yourself in the foot. There's no reason to go for a fourth down on your own 35-yard line. Is really something that you should take to heart. But that's you're right, man. I think this is one of those games that we play our game and don't make the mistake. Don't be the one. The team that makes the least mistakes wins the ball game a lot of times. And so that's the part of the recipe. But I mean, we got to produce and we got to put up points because they're going to score on us. It's just a matter of how much. But of course, apparently people out in Vegas think that we're going to score a little bit too. So good to see that. But Chancey, I will be attending the game. I cannot wait to be back. Going to be a great weekend. We got I mentioned this to you earlier, but our son is heading down to Statesboro for the weekend with the grandparents, and we're going to be up here just trying to figure out what to do with our hands because, I mean, we don't know what it's like to not have a kid running around at all points in the day. So it's fun. It's going to be a fun weekend. Can't wait to get out early and sell and tailgate and do all that. But man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a great atmosphere, and can't wait till Saturday at this point.
Well, it's going to be good football weather. I hate I'm not going to be able to be there. Thought I was going to be able to be there this year, but some opportunity came up. But I'm going to be there next weekend for the Ole Miss game, and so we'll be able to reconvene as we need to. So I'm jealous of you getting to make it happen this weekend. Go pull them through. And
if I use the Bulldog Park, can I use y'all's little tailgate area?
Yeah, just come on down there, because that's where the rest of my crew is going to be there. So
are they?
I'm the only one that won't be there. Chandler and I won't be there, but I do want to mention this. We can't go without saying, just talking about Kirby and Oh Captain, My Captain. The shot that he had at Dan Mullen this past weekend was just absolutely beautiful. Talking about Florida, pulling a Florida. If you didn't see, Kirby's getting asked in the press conference after the game about the media and basically the giving our team the ammunition it needed to get motivated for the day. And Kirby, just being a smartass, was just like, yeah, he was referring to Dan specifically. He's like, I thought he was my friend, or I thought he was supposed to be my friend or whatever, or I thought we were friends, however we phrased it. And he said, well, he didn't like to recruit anyway. And it was just like, God, dog, he just went after him.
That's why he's not coaching anymore.
It's like, man, he went for the jugular. And you just got to love to see it. You know that everybody else in the world of college football hates Kirby, and I am totally happy with that. I want nothing more than that to be the case. And it was just something that I had to bring up, that man, we were Florida was still getting it after the game. It was not just on the field, it was off the field too. So
hey, you know, hey, that's how it should be. Just it's the Florida rivalry never rests, and we should hate them 24/7, 365. But that's it's funny. I'm glad you brought that up about Kirby, because that's kind of a moment where you don't see him say something like that very often. I mean, he doesn't ever really make those kind of comments, and for him to do that, and the guy who, that Brooks Austin guy who was recording that video, was like, you know, you heard the audible gasp at the end after he said that, and that's the thing, that's how we all kind of felt. But I really appreciated him just making those comments. But man, it's awesome to have him just leading this team, and the whole coaching staff has just done an incredible job this year. And and you know, I think most of the people, just talking about Bobo, I think most of the people that were quote unquote calling for Bobo to be fired, I think they've kind of shut up at this point. We're seeing a production at a level that we've averaged, you know what, 40 plus the last four games or so. I mean, it's just been a gauntlet that we have gotten through this October. We're about to start another one in November, and let's just take care of business this weekend, which is another thing that we say every week, but take care of business this weekend, and then be feeling in a, we're in a really good spot if we win this ball game this weekend.
I agree 100%, my friend. Well, proud y'all are going to be there. Pull us through. I'm going to be giving my TV everything it's ever wanted this week. So,
well, hey, brother, Godspeed, and you know what? Go Dawgs.
Dawgs on top.